Okay, so we've had two different versions of the same story. One from a donkey who seems to be aging remarkably well, and one from Mark. And it's found in all four Gospels in different forms. Now, the theme of today's service is proclaiming the word of God. Everything Jesus did when he rode into Jerusalem was fulfilling the Old Testament, not only proclaiming the word of God, but proclaiming that he was the word of God. We're going to look at the different elements and how they actually fit with the Jewish scriptures. So, why a colt? A colt is a young male donkey that's never been ridden before. He may not have been called, or may have been called donkey. He may have been interviewed by Chico. But the colt wasn't even clipped. He looked shabby and he was small. He was probably so small that when Jesus sat on him, Jesus' head wasn't really that much higher than the people that he was going through the streets with. But there was something amazing about this itinerant preacher coming into Jerusalem. There was something different about him, and the Pharisees knew that. So why didn't he come on a horse, like a king, high above everybody, proclaiming who he was? The Romans rode on horses. The kings rode on horses to their battle to show their power. A horse was expensive, but, you know, we're talking about God here. That expense wasn't a problem. But he chose not to. He also chose not to come in a chariot, like sometimes kings do. Zechariah 9 says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous, having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the prophet Zechariah had already foretold that Jesus would ride on a colt. Jesus was proclaiming the word of God. And actually, it had already happened before. In 1 Kings, Solomon rode on a colt borrowed from King David. He was going to be anointed king of Israel. Adonijah had claimed himself to be king, but the elderly King David had already named Solomon to be his successor. But Solomon hadn't come with an army. He didn't want bloodshed of his people. He rode on a donkey to signify that he came in peace to claim the throne. So Jesus was saying, "I am peace. I am not your warrior king." So, what did the people think was happening? Many of these people would have already seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They were following him. And yet they didn't really understand what was happening. To them, he was a prophet who performed these amazing miracles. They were quoting from Psalm 118. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, save us." Which, the other way of saying that is, "Hosanna." But they didn't really understand what they were seeing. And actually, the disciples didn't either. In John 12, it says that they didn't understand the significance of what they were seeing and experiencing until after Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, the common understanding at that time was that the Savior of the Jews would come as a warrior. He would fight so the people would be free. They thought that Jesus had come to overthrow the Romans, like he had done the demons in the previous months, to cast them out once and for all and to give them their land back again. But surely, a warrior would have ridden a conqueror's horse and entered with an army through the main gates. But he didn't do that. The people were shouting, "Hosanna!" As I said, that means "save us now." What they were asking for was something different. But Jesus is not the warrior king they thought they needed. He is so much more. Jesus came into Jerusalem to raucous shouts, but he was the only one who actually knew what was coming in a few days' time, what he was going to have to endure in order to save the people and bring them eternal life. The people weren't thinking about the Isaiah 53 passage. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus was proclaiming the word of God, that he would pay the price for our sins. But the people couldn't see that. Jesus is saying, I am your Redeemer, your Savior. So what sort of procession was it? So when we think of a triumphant entry or procession these days, it could be a ticker tape parade. I had to find the Chelsea one or else I would have been in trouble. Or it could be that famous figures walking down the red carpet wearing designer dresses surrounded by camera flashes and microphones. We want to know what's happening. We certainly don't expect a scruffy young colt and get so excited that we throw our coats on the road as the bus passes by. A coat to the Israelites was not like it is to us here. It was more like when I was in Uganda 20 years ago. The school children there had one set of clothes. So once a week on washing day, however old they are, they had to stay indoors because they were naked. And to them, their clothes were really, really precious. You know, even with the splits and the missing buttons, that was what they had. So this is my Joe Brown's coat. It's a designer brand, but it was my eBay bargain because the NHS don't pay that much. It's a really good make. It's quite sophisticated, a nice bit of colour that I love. Now, if the Queen was coming down the road, would I throw this in the road? I don't think so. Not a chance. If someone was knocked over, lying in the road, really cold, would I cover them? Of course I would. But I know there'd be a little voice in the back of my head going, will that blood come out at the dry cleaners? It's very precious. Look after it. The cloaks and the palm leaves were a sign of deference to a man on the colt, who they were worshipping. It was the Jews' way of creating a red carpet for Jesus. Now, I am not the sort of person who gets all excited screaming at somebody famous in the parade, or even go as far as throwing parts of underwear onto the stage to singers, unless maybe I knew them personally. But when my Ben becomes the next Richard Branson, I probably would scream. Although I would hope that he doesn't forget his poor old mum and I'll be on the red carpet with him. But Jesus didn't need the horse and the carriage, the royal trumpeters proclaiming in the street, make way for the coming king, because he himself was the word proclaiming God in their midst. He says, I am your king. Jesus is saying, I am the culmination of all that was written in the scriptures. The Pharisees, who knew the Old Testament books intimately, would have known straight away what he was doing and what he was indicating, and they were threatened by that. The people in the streets would have had differing levels of knowledge, but probably wouldn't have put two and two together. And as he said earlier, even the disciples who were with Jesus all the time didn't really comprehend the significance of what they were experiencing. No one could have foreseen what Jesus already knew and what he was walking into. We know now what this entrance into Jerusalem indicated, but would we have realized if we were there? Would we have lifted spontaneous praise to him with the same intensity? Would I have wanted the warrior Messiah who would come and get rid of all the terrible world leaders, bringing fair systems and laws and righteous and worthy lawmakers? Maybe I would. especially if I didn't know all the New Testament stuff about Jesus that I know now. Would we follow the tradition of throwing our coats and palm leaves in front of the colt? Not sure I'd throw this one down, unless someone gave me a really good reason to do it that overpowered my desire to protect it. But if we take a jump and just think beyond the coats, think about our possessions, our gifts, our talents, everything that Jesus has given us, would we throw all of those in front of Jesus, our King? Or are we too worried that we might never get them back? Or they're too precious to be trusted to somebody else? Or do we surrender ourselves in worship, giving all of who we are, our hearts, our minds, our hopes, to welcome our King with our own red carpet? Or do we give him part of who we are? Not the important stuff, because he might not be who he says he is and we can't trust him. Can we truly shout, Hosanna, Jesus, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We don't need to fully understand about God to do that, just as the Jews and the disciples didn't fully understand the situation, but they knew they were in the presence of somebody amazing. Jesus was telling the Jews then and now that he was not just a prophet, he was the Word. He himself was all that was needed to show God. No pomp, no horses, no grand announcements, just him on a donkey, the sacrificial servant king. So this week, can we celebrate beyond Palm Sunday to the depths of our lives, in complete surrender of who we are in our deepest recesses, our most costly possessions, all that we are. Give ourselves over to Jesus, who truly proclaimed the word of God. This Easter week, can we shout, Hosanna in the highest?